Hi, and welcome to the How to Write a Commentary Study Skills tutorial. You may have already been looking at some of these slides online, but I think it's useful to have a voiceover just to take you through them. And I'm going to do that fairly efficiently and just really pull out some of the major features of commentary writing for many of you who won't have done this kind of activity before. So let's think first of all about what a commentary is, okay? And you'll see flagged up here a particular phrase within the definitions given by the OED, an expository treatise. So in other words, something that explains or clarifies, if you like, a particular text. Say in this case, in our case, okay, and this follows, in fact, what commentary is generally termed in French, which is the explication de texte. So in that sense, you have a passage of text in front of you, might be a whole text, might be a part of a text, and the intention is that you comment on it, not simply by paraphrasing it and noting, for instance, themes that emerge, but by trying to explain it, to analyse it, to go through it in depth and carefully, if you like. So it's not about paraphrase the commentary, it's very much about explanation, interpretation, analysis, okay? And we'll just look at how you might achieve that effect in the slides that follow. Okay, so what's the point of doing a commentary? And in a sense, you know, why a commentary rather than an essay? Well, the reason we like to give you commentaries to write is because they allow us to look at the way in which you read a text closely. So this skill of close reading, this skill of detailed analysis is absolutely crucial and will be developed elsewhere in your degree. And in fact, you know, as students of language and literature, that ability to read precisely and closely is a real skill to be mastered, if you like. So part of what we want to know is, can you read closely? Can you read with an eye to detail? And the other thing we want to know, and in a sense this is more similar to the essay, is, you know, what are your skills in presenting your findings? So having analysed, having ordered your thoughts and organised your thoughts in a particular way, how are you going to write those up, okay? In such a way that, as it says here, there's a coherent personal interpretative synthesis at the end of what you've produced, okay? So the commentary is certainly an exercise in reading, but it's also very much an exercise in writing. And you'll see this reflected in the commentary writing criteria, which we'll look at further on in the presentation. And you'll see that the criteria for commentary are clearly different from those that exist for essay. So these are you know, different skills that you're equipping yourself with here. Okay, so by way of thinking about, you know, how we analyse text and indeed image then, what we have in the next slide, slide four, is the picture of an advert, okay? And that advert, as it says, is inspired by the pop art of Roy Lichtenstein, okay? So given that we live in an age of images and that we're constantly analysing them, aren't we? Perhaps we can think just a bit more specifically about how this advert works. Because in doing that kind of thing, in other words, in trying to get behind the mind of the person who created the advert, you know, why have they used a particular image? Why have they positioned a particular piece of text here? Why is colour used in this particular way? What we're starting to do then is analyse what we are presented with, rather than simply think about how it makes us feel, for instance, okay? So how is it persuading you to buy the product? And some of the questions you might want to ask might be, how is colour used? Are particular words highlighted in the text? And again, if so, why? Why do these words stand out? How is the picture organised? Foreground, background, for instance. Can the picture or the poster, if you like, be read from top to bottom? Or is it something that, as it were, kind of attracts your eyes to the middle? So how do you read what you have here? Do your eyes run down from the top of the page to the bottom of the page? If so, how are they directed in that direction? And where do your eyes end up and why? Okay. Think perhaps about the intertextual resonances. If this is an advert that's inspired by pop art, well, perhaps why? Does that connect at all with the use of humour in this advert? advert and how effective is that? So there are lots of ways in which you could analyse this, and you could brainstorm those ideas and then organise them in a more systematic and methodical way afterwards, couldn't you? So even with, you know, kind of common images and texts that are around us, we're as it were, kind of performing that act of interpretation all the time, aren't we? And if you move on to slide 5, you'll see this operating in similar fashion, but with text images that make more use of words, if you like. Indeed, as it says, you know, there's a very close association between form and content here, in that you have words shaped to reflect the very thing that's being described. So in the first instance, you have an example of a poem about an axe, La hache d'arme antique, you can see marked at the top of the page, and it's in the form of an axe. The second example, you have a bottle, and the text is a poem on what's contained within the bottle, if you like, and its properties. The third example of this particular form, known as the calligram, if you like, a kind of shaped poem, you can think about how that works yourselves, perhaps, thinking about its shape, thinking about how the shape connects with the words on the page. Again, thinking about the direction of the eye, where's your eye drawn to? Perhaps, doing some research on Guillaume Apollinaire, when, for instance, was this particular calligram created? Is that significant? So have a think about those things. And certainly in discussion about this this calligram before, clearly it follows the shape of the Eiffel Tower. But if you read from top to bottom, salut monde, dont je suis la langue éloquente, que sa bouche au Paris tire et tirera toujours aux Allemands, then perhaps one can think that the shape of this poem might also look like a kind of forked tongue poking fun at the Germans, for instance. So, you know, interpretation, reading, you know, this is a personal thing, but one has to be able to justify the conclusions that one comes up with, if you like, the comments that one wants to associate with a particular text or image, of course. Okay, so moving on then, what will I learn from this? Why is it important for my learning to undertake commentary? Well, as I mentioned before, it's the eye for detail particularly that's important. It's the critical eye, okay? And it's in the writing up, yeah. Writing concisely, organising your material, being analytical, and so on. So it's a valuable transferable skill. Okay, let's think a little bit then about how commentary differs from essay. Okay, and you'll know from all the work you've done on essay and the workshops that you've attended that there are many different forms of essay, but that maybe broadly speaking you might be presented with a hypothesis and asked to examine it, to draw up your own thesis in relation to a particular statement, to compare and contrast two different elements. So you're drawing out ideas from the text that you're analysing as a whole, if you like, and presenting an argument. Here, the real focus is on form and language, and the form and the language in particular of the passage that you've been given, okay? So your aim isn't to discuss the text as a whole or to make general comments about themes and language in a broad sense, if you like, but to identify and comment on particular features of the passage in front of you, okay? So the passage is your springboard. General statements, as it says in the bubble, about the text as a whole are kept to a minimum. You're looking at the extract that you have in front of you and analysing that in detail. Okay, so always keep that in the forefront of your mind. As you do this, bear in mind that there isn't one way to do a commentary, that there are a number of different approaches. And of course, and you'll know this from the critical theory that we've begun to look at, every reading is different, every reader is different. So your commentary isn't going to be the same as somebody else's commentary. So in a sense, your approach to the text is going to be personal, but at the same time, as it says here, it needs to be objective. So in other words, it needs to be evidence-based. You need to draw conclusions based on features that you identify within the text, okay? And although it's your reading, you need to write in a formal style, okay? So as it says here, and as we also say in relation to essays, you should avoid using the personal pronouns I, or giving kind of personal opinion, if you like, I think, in my opinion, I believe that, and that kind of thing. Those kind of terms are best to be avoided. So keep your writing objective, keep it third person, okay? On to slide 9 now, and we're thinking about what the features of a good commentary are. And this slide just summarises very basically the different components of the commentary. Okay, so situating the passage with respect to the text as a whole, this is this will constitute your introduction. Okay, identifying content and formal characteristics within the passage, and analysing in detail the relationship between form and content, that will be the main body of your commentary. Okay, and finally, relating the passage briefly to the structure and themes of the text as a whole, this is what will happen in your conclusion. So it's clear from this, I think, that you need to know the whole work in order to properly and correctly analyse the passage from it in front of you. You know, you need to be able to place the passage within the work as a whole, and you need to be able to draw conclusions about the importance of the passage to the work in the whole, as a whole, okay? So you need to know the whole text well, but it doesn't mean that you ought to jump from talking about the particular passage in front of you to making very general statements about themes, characterization, and so on in the text as a whole. So your focus is absolutely always on the passage in front of you. Okay, now I suggest that before you begin thinking about putting your commentary together, you go to a number of sources of information that we've provided for you. So first of all, if you go to your study skills handbook, which is the handbook you received at the beginning of the year in your packs. Now, if you've lost this, you can download the study skills handbook by clicking on the blue link here. Okay. It's also very useful to take a look at the criteria for commentary writing. Okay. Read these in detail. Look at what's being asked of you, okay? And if you look at this in combination with the material in the study skills handbook, you'll see that there are particular features, if you like, that you ought to be looking out for and organising your thoughts around, okay? And they're set out in terms of what would constitute a first class, 2-1, 2-2, third class commentary, and so on, okay? And notice then that in all classes, there is reference made both to your ability to identify features within the text. They might be structural features, they might be individual features of language. So part of what's being tested is your ability to notice these things and to see how they're being used. But the other skill tested in commentary, as we've said, is your ability to write clearly, to structure your ideas and present them well in fluent and literate in English. Okay, so take a look at the commentary criteria, really work out what you're aiming to do. Okay, it might also be helpful if you compare those criteria to the criteria for essay writing. So just to see in what terms the commentary is different from the essay writing task. Okay, so just to perhaps make a brief comparison there. You'll also, I hope, have already visited the commentary writing advice page, and you'll see that on that page there's other documentation. There is also the possibility of linking through to a sample commentary that takes you step by step through a particular extract from Goudelin. So please also do look at those before you begin writing yourself. Okay. Okay, so you've been given your passage, as indeed you have. How do you begin going about analysing it? Okay, this is slide 11. Okay, so read the text, the passage, quickly to get a general sense, and then in real detail. And it's really important to stress that you must look up every word you don't know. You need to be able to understand the detail of the passage. Okay, it's not acceptable to leap over various perhaps paragraphs or sentences within the text simply because you don't understand them. Okay, so you need to try your hardest to get to the root of what the passage means in all its dimensions. Okay, when you've put together some ideas, and indeed, you know, before you begin writing, you might want to read up a little bit on the stylistic features of the text that you're looking at. So if you're looking at Candide and you can find a general work that talks about typical stylistic features in the text, then that will no doubt help you in looking for features as you begin your analysis. So that's a general point that you might bear in mind. It's worth saying that as a general rule, you don't need to make reference to secondary critical sources when you're writing a commentary, because we're really interested in your analysis of the words on the page in front of you. Okay, so again, the commentary exercise is different from essay in that respect. Okay, organise your ideas, think about how you'll structure the commentary. Okay, what's going in the introduction, the main body, and the conclusion. And let's have a look at those component parts in more detail in just a second. Moving on to slide 12 then. The passages you're dealing with are prose passages, aren't they? Okay. So you may want to think about what kind of text it is that you're dealing with. Okay, so in the case of the two texts that you've been set as part of your strategies assignment, you have, of course, in Candide an 18th century satirical text. You have in Coup de Lune a 20th century piece of detective fiction, and they will have particular characteristics, won't they? So go back to your lecture notes, think about what those characteristics might be. Okay. And as you begin looking at the text, you know, read through this slide, think about the questions that are posed within it. But broadly speaking, what you are doing is looking at the text, first of all, in terms of its overall structure and direction. So are there any changes of direction in the text? Are there any new developments in the course of it? How is it laid out? What is it is its paragraphing like? What is its sentence structure like? Okay. Is there any speech? And then you're moving from those questions of structure, if you like, into a more detailed analysis of language itself. So, you know, is there any powerful and striking imagery? How is it used? What kind of stylistic and rhetorical features are there in the text? Can I find examples of alliteration or assonance or metaphor or simile? Okay. So it's that kind of thing, if you like. You're getting into the nuts and bolts of how your passage is structured and put together. Okay, so let's think about the component parts of the commentary now. And we'll think first of all about the introduction. Okay, you're doing two things when you write an introduction to a commentary. First of all, you're situating the extract you've been given in relation to the structure of the text as a whole. Okay. And do this concisely. We don't want a long description of what's happened up to the point that, but simply where the passage falls, what immediately precedes it. Okay, concisely. The other thing is that you're looking at the overall shape of the passage and identifying briefly issues of content and form. Okay, so where is the passage going, both thematically and formally? Okay, can it be divided into parts? Is it one long discussion that really defies division. And one of the things you might want to do in the introduction is to note if you see clear divisions in a passage, and suggest where those divisions might fall. Okay, so you might want to say, you know, lines 1 to 6 essentially deal with this, while lines 7 to 10 essentially then move us on to this kind of thing. So, you know, what your marker is looking for is that already in the introduction you're showing that you've begun to analyse the form, the shape and the content of the text, and you're pointing your reader towards a sense of how you're going to analyse that in detail in what follows. But remember, do keep it brief and don't paraphrase the content. So in the body of the essay itself, of the commentary itself then, well, you can think about tackling this from a number of different angles. You might want to move through the extract line by line, okay? Now, in some cases, that might be too much of a kind of micro division. You might want to look at a few lines at a time, then the next few lines. But broadly speaking, you might want to move through the passage chronologically. Or alternatively, you could organise your discussion thematically. So you could look at certain thematic features of the text and how they appear at various points in the passage, say. Okay. So it's up to you to think about the kind of order you want to impose on your commentary. Okay. And once you've got that sense in your mind, then you're really paying attention, as it says here, to the formal aspects of the passage. Okay, what you're really looking at here then is the way in which language is used to reinforce content. Okay, so if you read a passage and you think, well, broadly speaking, this is about this, and the theme is, I don't know, political invective of some kind, and perhaps the tone of the passage is very angry, then you need to go beyond that to think about how that effect has been achieved by the writer. What kind of linguistic, rhetorical, stylistic devices does he or she use? What kind of vocabulary? How does this reinforce the text, the sense of anger that your first reading has identified? Okay? And you're looking for all kinds of things, and many of them have been listed here. They're also listed in your study skills handbook, and you'll also be given a glossary of technical terms to help you write a commentary if you've not already received that. Okay? So you might be looking at vocabulary. Is the vocabulary straightforward, or is it figurative? Is it a kind of trope? Is it used to achieve the effect of hyperbole or irony? Is it used metaphorically? What about the syntax? Okay, the shape of the sentences. We have two terms here, parataxis and hypotaxis, that both relate to syntax. Okay, parataxis being the placing of clauses and phrases without connectives or conjunctions. Okay, so an example of that might be, tell me, comma, how are you? Hypotaxis then involves subordinated clauses. Okay, and if you're not sure about these terms, then I recommend to you the Dictionary of Literary Terms and Literary Theory by Cudden, which is on your reading list. And that's certainly worth going to understand some of the terms that you're being asked to look for. Remember, of course, that not every term that's suggested to you, not every feature that's suggested to you, is going to be relevant to the passage that you're looking at. Okay, so you need to be selective, of course, but you also need to keep your eyes open. Okay, other things you might think about might be the sound quality of the passage, the point of view in it. Is it shifting? Is it stable? Do we come at the passage from the perspective of one character or several, or the perspective of the narrator? Is it first person? Is it third person? Are there changes in tenses? Are there particular parallels and repetitions in the text? There are many different things that you can look for, but you need to really pay close attention to these things. Okay? And again, it's worth reiterating that, you know, your analysis needs to be thorough. So you need to work your way through the text as a whole. Try not to leave gaps in your analysis. Okay? Now, in the conclusion of your commentary, what you're doing then is looking, as it were, at how the formal techniques you've identified have developed theme, character, plot for instance, in the work as a whole. So it's only in the conclusion that you would broaden your analysis out to consider the work as a whole, okay? So, you know, what have you found in your passage? How does it relate to the work as a whole? Is it typical of the work as a whole or not? Does it move the story on or not? You know, is it a flashback, for instance, or is it actually taking the narrative forward in some way? Okay, if it's typical, how is it typical of the work as a whole? So here you're beginning to think of the relevance of the passage to its wider context in the work, okay? A few do's and don'ts just to finish with, and these are fairly straightforward, okay? The first thing is the focus on the given extract, okay? So if you find an example of satire, for instance, that you think is very well developed using, I don't know, irony, say, in the passage that you have in front of you, do not allow yourself be distracted by that and undertake a very general discussion about the use of satire in Candide, for instance. Really keep your analysis pinned on the text that you have in front of you. So the text is the extract that you have is your springboard, okay? It's your point of departure for your commentary, okay? Your work needs to be organized, okay? So think about how you're going to present your findings. It needs to be supported. So if, as I've said before, there are many different readings that are possible of a given text, but that you need to support your argument, support your interpretation with evidence, okay? Be precise, don't be descriptive. Move on, okay? In terms of the do nots, yes, paraphrasing or translating, we don't need in a commentary. Remember, you're writing for an informed reader, a reader who knows the work, who knows the general issues associated with the work, who doesn't need you to explain the meaning of the work to them, okay? As I've said, don't stray into a general discussion of the author, of the complete work. Because you're writing for an informed reader, you don't need to give definitions of terms. You can assume that your reader knows those terms, so you don't need to find a sonnet, for instance. Okay, the reader is interested in your interpretation and analysis of the material in front of you. That's the bottom line. Okay, so the reader understands the text but wants to know how you want to analyze it, what your critical approach to it will be. Okay, so it's over to you. If you want to give any particular comments about this presentation, then please do email them to me. And go from here to consult the other pages available on the website, which will allow you to look in detail at how at some examples of commentaries and perhaps look at some other resources as well. Okay, thanks very much for listening.